Well, as we look towards the new year, we want to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture this morning. And we are looking at the first of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments are a standard for our society. Kind of interesting. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian, a Jew, or a Muslim. Did you know that the Ten Commandments are a standard for the society of all three of those religions? But what we're really interested in is what it does for us personally. They are a blueprint for happiness to life. They're about our relationships in life, our relationship to God, our relationship to others, our relationship to things that we come in contact in this world. In fact, if you look carefully at the Ten Commandments, you'll notice the first four have to do with our relationship to God. And then the last six have to do with our relationship with other people. In fact, that's why we're calling our series of sermons 10 Steps to 2020 Success. I really believe if we followed the advice of the Ten Commandments, we could experience personal success in the living of our lives in the year 2020, just around the corner, a new decade coming. Because God wrote these commandments for our own good. The first thing we want to look at today is, why in the world did God give us the Ten Commandments? And the answer is because He loves us. He actually wants what's best for our lives. You see, the subject of these commands is not God, as we so often suppose. It's you. It's your life. It's your freedom. It's your future. It's about your happiness in the living of life. You might say, but Galen, the commandments are so negative. But you know, if you'll stop and think about it, God didn't give these commands to spoil your fun or to ruin your day or to try and make you miserable. I don't think God just stopped one day and said, I'm just going to write down some things and I'm going to really try to make it hard on those people that are living down there on the earth. I just don't think God did that at all. You see, every one of these commands that seem so negative to us in the world today, they could all be stated positively, just like the Beatitudes. How about this? We could say, blessed are those who don't tell a lie. Wouldn't that be great? Or blessed are those who do not steal. Or happy are those who do these things that I tell you to do. In fact, did you know that every one of the Ten Commandments are restated positively in the New Testament? Every time God gives us a negative in life, it always has a positive purpose. For example, when you were growing up, your parents may have said to you something like this, son or daughter, don't touch the hot stove. Don't touch the hot stove. Why would they say that? Was that to make it hard on you? No. Was it to help you? Sure. Was it to protect you from something bad happening to you? Of course it was. Why do we tell our children, now don't run out and play in the street? Do we do that to make it hard on them? To cause trouble in their life? Of course not. We do that to protect them. We do that to try and help them. You see, the Bible teaches us that God has set up the world on certain laws that we have to operate on. There are, for example, laws like the law of gravity. If you disobey the law of gravity, you can get hurt. If you happen to fall off of a ladder, you can get hurt. It's like the guy, you've heard the story, I'm sure, that said that he didn't believe in the law of gravity, and so he jumped over the edge of a 20-story building. And about halfway down, someone looked out the window and asked him, said, well, how's it going? Well, he said, so far, so good. But here's the thing. He's going to hit the bottom. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt him. You know, the interesting thing is, We're going through life a lot of times and we're about halfway through. And we say to ourselves, so far, so good. But here's the problem. We're going to hit the bottom. Life's going to come to an end. And so we have to obey the laws of God. The fact is, when we break God's laws, they break us. Now notice, these are not the 10 suggestions. They are not optional. They are actually commands. It's really the first step to 2020 success. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 3, 20 and verse 3 says this, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now when God spoke these words, we need to remember, just 3 months earlier, He had delivered them out of the slavery of Egypt. 3 months. And then He gives them these 10 steps to success in their life. Step one is found in verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." The very first command is perhaps the most important for us to remember. What's the principle here? The principle is that God must be first place in our life. In other words, He's not going to play second fiddle to anyone in your life. Now, how do you define God? What is a God? Well, here it is. God is anything that you put in first place in your life. Anything that you put in first place in your life. Some people, it might be their boat. Some people, it might be their house. Some people, it could be their career. Some people, it might be their reputation. It could be some self-interest in life, and that gets in first place in our life and becomes our God. You see, anything that takes the place of God in our life becomes our God. You'll notice here He doesn't say, "You shall believe in God." Now, why would He say that? Because it's unnecessary. Everyone believes in a God. Everyone has someone they're worshiping. Everyone has a God in their life. You might circle the word, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." In fact, we could sum the sermon up today in one word. It's called priority. I know what you're thinking. Why don't you go ahead and sum it up? Let us go home. That's what you're thinking, isn't it, Carolyn? Just sum it up. God says, "I want top priority. I don't want anything before me in your life." Jesus amplified this. Here's what He said. "You cannot serve two masters." He didn't say you shouldn't serve two masters. He said you can't serve two masters. You see, when we try to serve two masters in the living of our life, it causes a great deal of anxiety, a great deal of confusion in trying to live our lives. The fact is, you and I are going to serve somebody. So what's the key to freedom? Well, it's choosing the best master for my life. It's choosing a master that wants what's best for me in the living of my life. That's what God's saying here. Some people have said to me over the years, "Well, I take drugs." The truth of the matter is, you don't take drugs. Pretty soon, they become your master. They become your master. You see, if we're going to be controlled by something, why not say yes here right at the beginning of a new year? Why not say yes to Jesus Christ? "I want you to be my master." Because He has your best interest at heart. He knows what you need. He knows what's best for your life. In fact, that is the key to freedom in the living of our lives. Now, we not only want to notice the principle here, but notice the promise. This verse in Matthew says, "Seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness, then all these other things will be given to you. You ought to circle the word all. You know what Jesus was talking about when He said these words? He was talking about worry. He was talking to the people about worry. You see, we tend to worry most in our lives when God is not in first place in our life. And so that's why Jesus said to them, well, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. These things about peace, about fulfillment in life, having the best life. If you'll seek Me and My kingdom, then I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of all those other things that you've been worrying about in life. Another good verse is found in Proverbs 3:6. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That's what you want in it, isn't it? 2020, success. You see, the principle is, put God in first place. His promise is, then I'll take care of you. That's all right, isn't it? Put God in first place, and then I'll take care of you. Now notice the procedure. How do I make Him first? Of course, it means making a decision in our life. There needs to be a point in our life, even as a Christian, where we just sell out 100% to God. We surrender all we are and ever hope to be. We surrender all that we have and ever hope to have. We all need to make that decision. Of course, that's the beginning. But beyond that, I want us to look at five ways to make God the number one priority in your life this year. This is the way to start a new year. I'm going to give you five things. If you'll do them, if you do five things, you're on your way to success in 2020. Are you interested in that? Okay. Well, let's get started. First of all, God wants to be first in your finances. We just as well start with the hard one first, don't you think? Then we'll enjoy the others a little bit more as we roll along. He needs to be first in your finances. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Now you see, that's a promise. God's saying, if you put Me first in your finances, that's the key. Because how you spend your money reveals what's important to you. Interesting, isn't it? How we spend our money, that shows us what's important to us in the living of our life. If you want to know what your priorities are, look at your bank statement. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your life. Why does God want us to return at least 10% of our money back to Him? Because God wants what your money represents. You know what your money represents? You. Your heart. God wants your heart. And He says, the way I know I have your heart is when you're willing to give 10% of your income back to Me. In fact, you ought to rejoice in doing that. Well, the truth of the matter is, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have an income. You realize that? Every good gift comes from God. Our health comes from God. Our jobs come from God. Our money comes from God. Our salvation comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Tithing is a good reminder that says, I want first place. If God has first place in your finances, then more than likely, He has first place in your life. Because money represents your life. D.L. Moody was a great evangelist. Years and years ago, you young folks probably have never heard of him. But he said that there are two conversions for Christians. One is the heart, and the other one's the pocketbook. Let me tell you, if our church could get to the second conversion, we'd be able to do a lot more for the kingdom. There'd be a lot more people find Jesus if we could get to the second conversion, and that's our pocketbook. It belongs to God. Secondly, we need to put God first in our interest. That is, in your careers, your hobbies, your recreation. You can tell a lot about a person's priorities by what they get excited about in life. Have you noticed that what's really important to you usually excites you? What do you like to think about? What is it that you like to read? What is it that you spend your time talking about? Well, more than likely, if you stop and think about it, that's a priority in your life. It's like the two ladies who were talking on the phone, and one lady said, "Did you see Esther's new suit on Sunday?" The other one said, "No." "Did you see Mabel's new dress?" "No." "Well, did you see Virginia's new shoes?" "No." "Well, did you see Matilda's new coat?" "Well, no, I didn't see any of those things." And the first lady said, "Well, what good does it do for you to go to church?" So, I mean, what are you most interested in? Whatever you're most interested in, that's your God. God wants no rivals. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. You see, when you go to work tomorrow, did you know you could do that to the glory of God? God gave you that job. When you give it your best, you're bringing glory to God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. When you come to church, do it all to the glory of God. That's what He wants from us. When you give your testimony to someone so that they can come to know Christ, you do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Then thirdly, the procedure for putting God first not only deals with finances and activities, it deals with our relationships in life. If God's going to have first place in your life, you're going to have to begin to choose your friends very carefully. Look at Proverbs 12. A righteous man is cautious with his friendships. Cautious with his friendships. How many of you would agree that some relationships are dead wrong for you in your life? They pull in the wrong direction. It keeps you too close to the edge of the Christian life. Someone says you play with fire, you could get burned. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character in your life. This thing of good relationships includes the home. Look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The best thing that husbands and wives and families can say is, "We're going to make Jesus Christ number one in our life, number one in our home. That's what draws us together. That's what keeps us together. That's what helps us to have love in the family. When we decide to make Jesus Christ number one in our home. Where does God need to be number one in your relationships? Can you talk to your close friends about God and about Christ? If not, maybe you ought to be cautious about that relationship. Another area that God wants to be first in is your schedule. I recently came across a verse that I think is a life verse in people's lives today. Exodus 18:13 says, "He was kept busy from morning till evening." How many of you could identify with that? Kept busy from morning till evening. Did you know that we can get so busy in the living of our lives that we forget God? We just get so busy. I'll give Him some time tomorrow. I'm too busy today. I once heard the phrase that says this: beware of the barrenness of a busy life. More of us ought to be like the guy who said to his partner, "Well, let's take the day off and plan. That way we won't have to do any work." I like planning days because you don't have to do any work. That might not be a bad idea once in a while. Just take a day off. It's so easy to forget God in our day. Some of you might be saying, "Well, hey, wait a minute. I'm here every Sunday morning. And that's great. That's great. You should be." But what if you husbands went to your wives and said, "Honey, I promise to be faithful to you one day every week." Would that go over? Have you tried it? No. You see, God's saying, "I want to be first in your total life, in your schedule, every day." So how do we do that? Well, you make an appointment with God every day. Why not schedule God into your life? You know, we schedule everything else, don't we? We schedule work in there. No, we have to go to work. Schedule in doctor's appointments or haircuts, all those things. Well, shouldn't we schedule in God somewhere? Establish a regular time every day when you'll be alone with God. Look what Psalms 55:17 says. "I will pray morning, noon, and night, and He will hear and answer me." You know, instead of a coffee break, if you can't find any other time, you could take a prayer break. If we don't, days turn into weeks. Weeks turn into months. Months turn into years. And I've scheduled God out of my life. Mark 1:35, we read this about Jesus. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where He prayed." If Jesus needed that, don't you think you need that? And I need that? Daily time, important to God. You found that out, Jeremy? You want to share that?
My life has recently turned around a lot. I didn't put God first. I needed to be, was the kind of husband I needed to be. And my wife and I got into some trouble relationship-wise, and we decided to split up. And I told my folks about it, and my dad kept telling me, "Hey, come to church. Come to church. What's that going to do?" So finally, I agreed. I came to church with my parents September 22nd. I remember it. And God got a hold of my heart. And ever since that day, I read my Bible every morning. I get up and I make time for God. And it has done such a powerful change in my life. I can't express it, and I wish it for all my children. I wish it for everybody here. Just take a little bit of time every day. Devote that to God. Read His Word and feel that connection. And it'll change your life. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That wasn't planned either. He gave me his testimony in our leadership class one Wednesday night. So, sorry to put you on the spot, but that was great. That's better than my whole sermon right there. It really was. Isn't that something? How God's able to work. Yeah, I'll give him a good hand. Well, finally, let God be first in your troubles. Well, I know what you're saying now. Well, finally, you get the one that you agree with, huh? Put God first in your troubles. What do we mean? Well, we mean all those problems, all those circumstances that you have, all those pressures, all those crisis things that you're going through in life, all those hurts, all those heartaches. Put God first in your troubles. Who do you turn to first when they come along? When everything falls apart, the doorbell rings, a child hollers and needs something, someone calls on the phone, the doctor calls and gives you some disappointing news about your health. You just feel like life's falling apart. Who do you go to? Who do you talk to? Well, the first thing that we should do is go to God and talk to Him. Too often we see God as a last resort. Many, many times, I probably have said it myself. Well, all we can do now is pray. Well, that's all we can do. All we can do now is pray. Well, that ought to have been the first thing that we thought about doing. You see, too often we see God as the last resort, when in reality, He needs to be first, the first option. What does it mean to have no other gods before me? It means you put Him first in your troubles. Did you know that God is waiting to help you? By the way, I don't know when I'll preach it, but I'm working on a whole... I shouldn't even tell you this, but I just thought of it. On God's mercy. Maybe someone needs to hear this. When you fail, do you know what Jesus is doing? He's not only ready to forgive you. Did you know He's praying for you? God's mercy. When you fail, and you think God doesn't want any more to do with you, did you know He's ready to forgive you and that He's praying for you? What did Jesus do when Peter failed? Did you know Jesus prayed for him? that I pray that your faith won't fail. Well, that's way off the track, but I don't know why I told you that. But God's waiting to help. Call upon Him, me, in your day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Last night I was reading in the Psalms, just before I went to sleep, about God as our rock, the God who can deliver us, the God who will stand beside us. Isn't that wonderful words? When you get into trouble, you have a God who's a rock. He's the rock of your salvation. He's there to help you. He's there to meet your needs. When you get knocked around at work, and you will, why not go somewhere? Shut the door and take a prayer break. When you have been browbeaten by someone, call on God. He has promised to be your refuge, your strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble. You know, you wonder how people without God make it. You ever wondered that? Well, they don't. A lot of times they don't make it at all. Many people live their whole life scared, guilt-ridden. Put God first in your trouble. Did you know that worry is a warning light that says God doesn't have first place in my life? As you move into the new year, I can't think of anything more than important than establishing these priorities for our life. Can you? They're simple. You've heard probably all of them, or at least some of them. I can't think of anything more important as we move into the new year than these priorities that we've spent some time talking about today. What's going to be first in your life? We're moving into the new year. The first step to a successful life is an all-out commitment to God. Look at Colossians 1:18. Christ was raised from death in order that He alone might have first place in all things. Isn't that a great verse? That's why He was raised from the dead, so that He could have first place in your life. As a means of advertising a series of religious services, a Scottish newspaper editor used an unusual approach. He printed a notice in large letters on the front page of the paper, asking the readers to refer to the back page. On the back page, in still larger letters, was this single question: is this where you're putting God? On the back page. It's easy to do. Easy to do. I think there have been times when I've done it. But we can change that. We can move God into first place. Joshua said, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Wouldn't it just make good sense for us, while we're here today, to make a decision to put God in first place? Wouldn't that just make good sense? First place in all of these areas that we've talked about? It was for that reason that Christ was raised from the dead. So let's pray. Let's pray. We're just gathered around these tables. So you just pray to yourself. You don't need to pray out loud. I guess what I'd like for us to do is to ask God to forgive the past. Probably all of us have had moments of failure. We wouldn't share them with anyone, but they're there. And so this morning, I'd like for us to get rid of them. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the past. I ask you to cover it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, beginning today, I want to be sure that you're in first place in my life. I've been playing around long enough. Not much prayer time. No giving to the church. All these things. I don't want you just to forgive me, Lord. I want you to set up first place in my heart and in my life. So that I can begin to live the life of personal, spiritual success." Are you praying that? Are you putting Jesus in His rightful place? All this we ask in Christ's name. And the people said, "Amen."